step too late or too early, you don't quite make it. 1/2 second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know that's the difference between winning and losing.
Mean in the Green, it's right here for you.
That's football.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green.
Get the room to breathe.
Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that! Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
See, it did it again. I didn't do anything.
Damn you.
Oh, here it goes.
Why don't you just intro it?
I think it just went to sleep.
What a great intro that was.
I know,
what a great intro.
I was sitting there about to talk. My phone went to sleep.
But your first words were pretty awesome.
You're dimming it perfect, too. You were dimming it down nice.
I know. It was very nice. All right. Thanks, everybody, and welcome to the 159th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. Like they said, this is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
And we are here to talk everything but North Texas football. Actually, last week we caught a little bit of grief because we were talking about non-football topics because we can. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but there wasn't a whole lot going on. Yes, spring ball was going on, but we were still trying to figure out what exactly we had. Still trying to figure out exactly what we had. So we will be talking about the spring game. We'll be talking about what's going on in football. We're going to be talking recruiting, and we'll be talking to Brett Vito. So we got a full show today, so let's go ahead and get started. Harry?
Hey, spring game. A lot of fun, great weather. I really felt I went with my dad, and you know, it's pretty hot. I mean, the pretty sunny out there. So we got up underneath at the kind of the upper deck area where we were underneath shade, and just sat there and kind of soaked it all in. Definitely a different offense, a different defense. You know, the 3-3-5 was taking a little while for me to kind of swallow and understand a little bit. I was really pumping up Alec Morris to my dad, you know, going there, the Alabama transfer. And, you know, he didn't have the greatest day. Now, that being said, he still got all the tools. He's, without a doubt, in my mind, the most talented quarterback we have on the roster. So, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, sometimes you go out there, this was one practice, really one scrimmage. The other scrimmages that I was able to go to, he was very impressive. So I think, you know, it's, you can't make a judgment off just one showing, but it did show me that, hey, he's a new quarterback in this system at North Texas, and he's still going to have some adjustments. You know, a lot of people got really excited on the board about Quinn Shanbour, and I think, you know, Quinn Shanbour had a pretty nice day. Again, it was one practice, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of jumping on the Shanbour wagon right now.
Yeah, that probably just needs to stop. I mean, I really think that right now Shanbour is just more of an indictment on Connor Means falling down the depth chart than the fact that Quinn is actually played well enough to be the number two. I mean, I think he's a fine three or four, but I don't think that he's a true number two in a sense of they're still trying to figure out the roster they have. I don't get the sense they're really happy with Connor Means. I don't think he's really done much to help himself out since the new staff got there. And, you know, I think that it's so early, and a lot of things are going to change by the time fall camp gets here. You know, you're going to have transfers. You're going to have recruits coming. You might have a couple more guys that we don't know about yet. I mean, there's a lot of things up in the air with the new staff. There's almost not that much you can take away from the spring game because everything is
well, and we've, how many times in the past have we seen what we've seen at the spring game does not translate to what we see in when the season starts in August, really.
Yeah, there's a player, Darius Prater, that had an amazing day that day. Not a name anyone's real familiar with, you know, and I remember walking out thinking about him, thinking, wow, that guy, you know, good hands, good moves, a lot of speed. But will we even see him?
Might not even be here.
You know, will he even
be here?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
the
thing. And I don't think that, I mean, there's only like 63 guys on scholarship, I think, right now or something like that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of turnover. They're going to have some walk-ons coming in, their walk-ons. I mean, a lot of things are going to change. It's almost like, Evan, what you just said, you know, the spring game, you always see so many things that change by the time fall camp gets there. Well, in this situation, you not only have a new people coming in, new players coming in, you have a new staff coming in. So for a guy like Alec Morris, he's learning a new staff. He's learning a new system, and you can't really judge it as he's being in a new school, but he's also, the staff is learning what to do with their new system. So there's, everything is just, the word new is everywhere. I mean, a lot of these guys are such a young staff too.
So let's start there with the field. I know because it's a new staff, new coaches. What was the feel on the side? What did you see? Did you feel, I mean, was there a night and day difference between what you saw on the sidelines with McCartney?
I mean, Latrell is very, and I know I put a write up on the board and I said Tom Landry and people were like, what? But I'm not trying to say he's Tom Landry or anything like that.
Because it'd be weird if he would be coaching here then.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is, remember Landry would like just not say anything and would just sort of study the field and was just sort of quiet. I mean, basically, very few words were uttered by, you know, Seth Luttrell in the scrimmage. I mean, he was just observing everything on the field. He was taking it all in. Just not a whole lot of reaction.
Matt Simon was that way, too.
Yeah. This was even more so.
Well, I mean, no, I think all that should have been expected, like with Seth doing that. I've seen him at practices, and he's been a little bit more vocal, but I think he's taking a lot of it in because he's taking all of it in. I mean, he's taking being a head coach for the first time in. He's just soaking everything up and seeing what his staff is doing. And I think that there's no way to judge how he is acting right now because, again, you don't even know what he's trying to figure some stuff out. And on the sidelines for the spring game, I was down there, and I thought it was a different vibe than last year's spring, especially last year's spring game, when I think people knew that there was some hot seat coaches going on. This time there was, you know, the coaches were getting on some of the players because, remember, these coaches, these aren't their players. So some of these coaches were just lighting up some guys because they're not their guys. They don't care if they quit. They're not their players. So I think that, you know, there was a lot of the players were really trying to make an impression where they're not trying to make that impression in a normal spring game because they feel like they might have a little bit of a comfort zone because this guy recruited me and I already know I'm the starter or whatever. Everybody's kind of fighting for their job.
Let me add another thing that I just was thinking about. He seems to delegate a lot. I mean, really, you know, it's almost like he's staying back, watching, observing, and letting these assistants who are new players to these new assistant coaches sort of develop a relationship with the players. And he's kind of given them some room to do the coaching that he wants them to do. But even like at the start, you know, when you see the guys get in a circle and they're all jumping up and down and they're getting fired up, I look down there and it's not Latrell that's leading that. It's Graham Harrell that's leading. You know what I mean? It's almost like he is really going to delegate to these assistant coaches, which may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I also don't want to judge anything that he's doing even right now because to me it's just I have no idea what it's
a first time out. They're kicking the tires. They're finding out what they have.
Yeah, I mean, his first game.
You know, when you come down to it, the coaches probably don't even want the spring game. Or at least not this situation. They still got a long way to go to evaluate.
They cared. I mean, they look at the biz. I mean, yeah. They care, but I mean, you know what I mean. It was a different style. It wasn't the ones and twos and threes and fours. This was offense, defense. That's it.
Well, and let's say this too. Shanbor, a lot of people were talking about his mobility and how he's had that running touchdown and all the things. Look, these quarterbacks are wearing a red shirt. So whenever I see quarterbacks running for long gains in these type of scrimmages, it's a little bit questionable.
There were multiple times where defenders threw up their hands like, hey, I could have hit him, but yeah. So why is he still running? Like, I could have grabbed him, but I didn't even touch him. Like, I figured you were going to blow the whistle. And there was one, he had like one 25-yard run that was negated because he just kept running and everybody was like, oh, I guess we're still going.
But
I
don't know that the fans really understand that. They see him running and scoring a touchdown and they're like, wow, he's doing great. But I think you have to diminish that a little bit when you're wearing a red jersey.
I wouldn't get too attached to him if I was a fan right now. And again, it's like just because he, you know, you hear the word quick release and that's fine. Maybe he does have a quick release, but quick release is one of those things that I feel like you hear when some people don't know how else to describe the quarterback. Like, oh, he throws a good ball. Great. Like, give me something else that has a little bit of meat to it. Like, he stands tall in the pocket, or he does something else. Like, you just saying he has a quick release is fine. Where's the ball going to go?
Right.
Quick release where? And is he going to throw a quick release 10 yards? Because he can't get the ball more than 40. Yeah. You know, Morris has the D1 arm. Morris has the D1 body. You know, and hopefully he is a true D1 quarterback, and I think the coaches and staff thinks that he's going to be that.
I still feel like we need another quarterback with experience.
Okay, so
bad.
let's just go. I know Ashton's already got his stable steady here, knows what he wants, but what do we have in this stable? What are our quarterbacks right now, the current situation, 1 through 4?
Is 1 through 3. Chumlee's going to be a tight end as soon as more quarterbacks come in and become a body.
Chumlee,
he's not a
good
four.
Athlete.
He's going to be something.
But
else.
I just don't see him in the long term. And honestly, I'm going to agree with Ashton. My dad's a big fan of Connor Means because he's from Deer Park and we grew up in Houston. And he came away. He watched every single thing that guy did on the sidelines and the field. And he just said he's not ready. He's not ready.
And he should be at this point. That's the thing. That's the disheartening thing.
How long has he been here?
He's a junior now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No. I'm sorry. He's
either a redshirt junior or a redshirt sophomore.
He's his third year. His first year was 14.
Well, then he's still got a little bit of time. But
this isn't his staff. Yeah, and he, again, he did not make a great impression. Because if he made a good impression, he wouldn't have got dropped. He would have walked into the number 2 spot. Like, that would have been his spot. He was a number 3 last year. The 2 guys in front of him are gone. The better guy comes in, the guy that they're anointing, their guy. They give him the spot. Connor would be the number 2 by de facto.
Well, I would still say, going into the season, we don't have one guy that has ever really had any significant snaps in a college game.
I think we will.
And I think we have to go find a guy that has, even if it's a journeyman, maybe a graduate transfer that can come in and play right away or something like that. If I'm Luttrell and I want to have a good start to my career here, I want some insurance right now.
Well, how does that play into the highly touted freshman that's coming in?
Mason.
I mean, I think he has to factor in, but it's just so hard.
I mean, you obviously would like to keep that guy behind, let him learn a year.
Love the redshirt,
but
guy.
But the thing is
yeah, but he's going to come in and you know, he's not going to have taken a college snap by the time he gets here in the fall camp. So what Harry said about the guy, the graduate transfer, makes a lot more sense because you want a guy that's going to come in.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. The problem is who is that going to be? Are they going to find somebody?
Greer is
we haven't been able to find that in years past.
Josh Greer is we had the same issue before, and Josh Greer was the salvation. That's who Chico brought in, a guy that had some good experience at the junior college level, had won a bowl game, and you're absolutely right, Evan. It turned out to be there's no guarantees, but I would still say it's, you know.
DeMarcus. The same thing with DeMarcus.
Well,
a hand-picked guy that had some experience in the JUCO level, had some success.
I mean, I like that idea.
That may come back to bite him. I mean, the letting him go may come back to bite him if they can't find someone like that to bring in and for insurance.
And I understand, and I hope that we can. We have a bad history of bringing people in, and I'm not so sure that we'll get somebody. So now we're looking at the guy that we're hanging our hat on really is the transfer, because he's got to step in there because he's got at least some experience. And then the number 2 being Mason?
I think the number 2 is still going to be Quinn Shanbor. I mean, at least for now. But I think, you know, he's going to have a dogfight, you know, coming into the fall because that freshman's coming in here wanting to play right away. They all do. So I think you have to, you know, you have to wait and see how things play out in the fall. Unfortunately, that's still a long ways away.
All right, so let's move on from quarterbacks. Let's move to the other offensive positions.
I mean, to me, the tight end,
Kelvin Smith,
that guy is something special. You can just see right off the bat that, and I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, right? Mm-hmm. Or he'll be a redshirt freshman, but he was brought in as a tight end. He's kind of – they use him as a split-out H-back type of guy, and he has good hands, runs good routes. I think that's a guy – keep that name in your database because I think he's a guy that's going to help this program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I I would tap on the brakes on the something special comment because, I mean, he had a good spring game. And, again, we don't even want to take the spring game into that many factors because, again, he might not be a guy that's utilized in fall camp. Like, all these guys that got the ball, Connor Davis, I don't think is, you know, he had some plays out there, and that's a guy that I really don't see being here. I mean, I could see him gone. I think that the guy that at the practices, I've been taking more away from practice than I have at the spring game, and the guy at practice that I think is really not turned a corner, but just making a name for himself now that know the coaches are hype about is Rodney Bendy. I mean, there's points in time during practice where he's the best receiver we have at times.
Wow.
T is the most is the highest ceiling.
Yeah,
I think
T had
so.
A nice spring. I mean, I think
and T, he T needs is, to. T is the, I, yeah, I he's just, got the highest ceiling for sure.
We've expected so much out of him, and we've seen some flashes. But then you're like, why is he out?
We
there?
We unfairly expected a lot of that, like that, just because we had a guy with some pedigree, some high school pedigree coming in, and we just expected him to. We thought he was going to play year one, and that's unrealistic for any college. Any true freshman to play right away.
He had 141 yards in the game, yeah, in the spring game. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would hope that he can pull it out. What about running backs?
Jeffrey Wilson's the best player on
the
team.
He's our best player.
On the team,
he had a good year last year.
He didn't have a great spring game, but I think part of it was they didn't run that much. And when they did, the defense knew exactly where the ball was going to go. I mean, it was almost like he was running into a wall every time. But you still see, you know, he is by far – the best guy. A.J. Ezard got the second most number of snaps, which I thought is pretty impressive because here it is. This guy is a walk-on, preferred walk-on, and he's the number two running back. Now, that could change by the fall, but at least for now, he's a guy that's, I guess, getting some coaches' attention if he's getting that many snaps. The other name I wanted to throw out, and I just missed it because I was so focused on the quarterbacks during the scrimmage, but, you know, Sid Moore – kind of a guy that a lot of us had written off, had 7 tackles in the spring game, which is pretty damn impressive.
Sid, yeah, I wouldn't take too much stock into Sid Moore, honestly. I mean, I keep sounding negative, but that's a guy that, like, he almost was off the team last year, and I think he was almost off the team the year before that, and he's a problem at times.
But he was a guy that other schools wanted that had some, you know, interest. I mean, I think he's a guy that's, you know, honestly, I was kind of expecting him not even to be there. You know, I didn't even know if he was going
to
be.
Well, I mean, I think he had to be there right now because it's spring and they need bodies. Again, I think this could all change in fall camp. You know, the roster that they walk out there with on day one of fall camp is going to be, I think it's going to be a little bit different than the one we're seeing right now. Actually, I know that for a fact because we got guys coming in, and there's going to be guys you're not going to see, and they've made that very obvious, and Seth has said, you know, as much, like, things are going to be different. You know, we were filling holes right now.
Well, and then you also, you know, had the news about Sir Calvin, and that's gotten a lot of play on the GoMeanGreen.com board. But and I don't know if you caught this or not, Evan, but Sir Calvin, I guess, graduated early, which means he gets an extra year of eligibility. He left the North Texas program, and now he's going to go. He signed with South Alabama. So that was kind of disappointing, I think, for the fans. But I guess that stuff happens in college football.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of those things. I mean, you know, I mean, he had a rough time here, too. There were some times where he wasn't really thought very highly of by the coaches. Then he kind of came around and really turned a corner in 14. And then I know that he had a rough fall camp last year. There was some – I think that he, you know, he was kind of lacking effort.
So if, for the fans, that the people that are listening that didn't know anything about Latrell, didn't know anything about what kind of style and play he's going to bring, what can you tell the fans that they're going to see against SMU? What type of offense, what kind of plays are we going to see a lot of?
Not running the ball that much.
A lot of passing. A lot of passing, I'll tell you what else they did a lot in the game and in the practices I've seen is that read option, you know, where the quarterback kind of looks like he's handing the ball off to the running back, but you don't really know for sure. And
yeah.
A lot of times he'll step back and pass, or he gives it, you know, I know we did that occasionally with Mac and Chico, but it looks like it's a real big component of this offense. I mean, a real big component. I think, you know, There seemed to me like there seems to be more of a rhythm. You know, they play the music in the background through the entire spring game. They had a mixtape going through the loudspeakers, which that kind of, you know, that's different. You know, I haven't seen that, but it seems like there's more of a rhythm. And when they were warming up, all it was pass, 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 pass. Just repetition, repetition, repetition. Whereas Mac would have them all line up and get into formations and stuff like that. There wasn't, you know, it's just a different philosophy, totally different philosophy. It's exciting.
Well,
to see
it sounds
what it's
like it'd
be
exciting. It's a little way away from our bread and butter, what we're used to seeing.
Oh yeah,
and it
totally.
Also puts an even bigger question if the quarterback situation doesn't come around.
It puts a lot of onus on the quarterback, but then I think you could also argue that it takes less. You know, the quarterback is going to have so many more options in this offense. You know, with Mac, there was a lot of running on first down, running on second down, and then when you're third and eight and you've got to get a first down, and that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I think with this offense, you're not going to be able to, you know, our opponents are not going to be able to say, well, it's Mac, we're going to run on first down here. You know what I mean? That's just not going to happen.
You've got a former air raid quarterback, one of the better ones in the air raid offense, you know, calling the plays this year, you know, we think, you know, or having a very heavy hand in the play calling as he's the offensive coordinator. I don't feel like we're going to see that many traditional running plays. I think they're going to utilize Jeffrey because he's the best player we have on a lot of screen passes, or swing routes. You know, maybe down the field, maybe some goes. You know, he could. I think that we're going to see him a lot, but we're going to see a lot of passing, and we're going to see a lot of that bubble screens, hitches, you know, quick throws.
So how does that, knowing our schedule this year, knowing the Conference USA teams we play, how does that offensive philosophy play into our opponent's strengths from, say, last year?
You know, it's hard to say from one year to the next, but I would say last year North Texas was the most predictable team on the schedule for any Conference USA opponent. They knew we were going to try to pound the ball. You know, they knew we did not have a quarterback that was a big weapon that was going to scare you deep.
And they knew that our better player was the running back. So, like,
yeah.
when Jeffrey Wilson's
right.
name, when Wilson yelled, they knew that before, but then Jeffrey Wilson's name started getting thrown around. And every game we'd watch, you'd see the impact players on, you know, on the road games where we'd see it on TV and be impact players. And it was always him and Carlos.
Yep.
But you knew that Wilson was going to get the ball a lot. And speaking of Carlos, I can easily say that that's one of the better recruits we have this season, is that we don't have Carlos around.
Oh.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, because I know that there was some people that he was starting to rub. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. He knows it. Everybody
right.
knows about this guy. I'm not unearthing any new data here, but the fact that he isn't influencing some people with the Twitter shenanigans and going, you know, his awesome
chemistry-wise, it's
yes.
a total win. I think if they had their druthers and could have him on the field another year, they'd probably do it, but that's just me.
As a player. But I think
I don't think they would. I honestly don't think they would. He wouldn't last with the staff. I don't think he would last with them.
Well, that's good.
They would be like, no, get out.
That's basically we're agreeing. Yeah. I'm saying they wouldn't want him in the locker room, but if they could have him, I mean, the guy wasn't a terrible player.
No, he made some good plays. But was, the downside, especially at the end of the last season, the downside far outweighed the good side. All right, so what else? What other intangibles from the
defensively? Tons of blitzing. Get ready for it. The days of the bend don't break. You know, the Skladany. And
so we're not paying 5 yards off.
Much closer.
I mean, 10,
tighter coverage on the receivers.
Okay.
I mean, there's a good side and a downside to that. I mean, the good side is it's again we're not predictable. You know, there's going to be some. I think the predictability on the offense applied to our defense as well. They knew we were going to try to keep them from having a big play and kind of, but you know, for the fans, sometimes it felt like it was death by a thousand cuts, you know, cause you're just letting them hit you for four and five and six, you know, over and over again. But I feel like the secondary is intriguing. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say they're the best in Conference
USA.
That
was the biggest non-statement. The secondary is intriguing.
Well, I would.
I do. I think
I
they're young
yeah.
for the most part, especially at corner. But I think, you know, with the two safeties that we have coming back, James Gray and Keyshawn McClain, those are two of the better safeties in the league. Now, if the corners can step up like I think they're capable of.
Well, Chad's not young. Chad's a senior.
That's
now.
True. That's is he a senior? I thought he was a junior.
No, he's a senior now, well, I believe. He played as a freshman in 13. So
there you go. It's a pretty senior group.
Defensive line, solid. I think that putting Jared,
I'm not ready to go there.
Putting Jared Combs in the right position now, and not letting him be some kind of weird hybrid stand up rusher. I think he's going to make some plays, and I know the staff really likes him. The new staff that, again, when the staff likes you and they didn't recruit you, that says something about
yes,
you.
Yes, it does.
They like him. Roderick Young, he's just good. He's just solid, country strong.
One of our best players as a freshman.
He's one of our better players on defense. I would say that him and Keyshawn and Chad Davis, I think right now, are the three best players we have so far in spring on defense.
What about, I can never pronounce his name, but Joseph Ozawagu.
I mean, he's making some plays.
I thought his name
a few times in practice, which was good.
He has some good speed and is a good rusher from the corner. I think he could be helpful.
I think our defensive line is really good. I think our secondary is pretty salty. When you have a guy like Preston who could come into the slot, and that's your slot corner, that's nice. I think our linebackers need help. I think we're really
interesting. You bring that up because I was going to mention. Did you notice Calvin Miner was like the extra safety?
He's a DB now
in that 3-3.
No, he practices as a DB.
But it's almost the weird thing about it is he almost kind of lines up as a linebacker sometimes. I mean, it's a flex that.
It's just that weird. He's too tall to be a corner, but he's got the athleticism. But he's not big enough to shed blockers as a linebacker. But he's too big to be a corner. It's that really bad position. And if we played a defense where you could have a stand-up edge rusher, you could kind of teach him to be like a DeLonga kind of player. But he's just not. He's not that kind of guy. So it's almost like if he could catch, make him like a
So a question came up in the chat room. Why was Roderick Young not listed on the two deep?
I don't know why.
I don't either.
I don't know why. I thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe it was some grades going on. Like they, you know, I know they got some guys that are trying to get grades right now or get help with in class because they're kind of struggling a little bit. And they're just trying to take their mind off football and put them in more school. Willie Ivory is one of those guys.
That's why Willie didn't play.
Yeah, and so I don't know about that with Roderick. You know, I mean, I know that I mean I've heard good reports from the coaches, so I mean I assume that everything's fine. But I can't speak to anything else inside of that. But, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I mean that was kind of out there.
All right, so we're about to go get with Brett Vito, the beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. Before we do that, is anything else you guys want to wrap up? Anything else that to discuss from the spring
game? Let's talk
about the tomato. No, we're not going to talk about the tomato. Okay.
Let's talk about Mr. Chopsticks.
We'll talk about rubber gloves later.
Let's talk about
Mr. Chopsticks. How about Denton Jazz Festival?
I went to the Denton Jazz Festival. I mean, you know,
all right, I think on defense we're going to do
you know, after so many years away from college, you forget the smell of the arts student.
Hope you guys aren't listening.
The patchouli and sweat smell.
Yeah.
Those are great things.
The one thing that I wanted to say real quick about the defense is I think that anybody who watched a spring game or if you weren't there, you're going to see a lot of three-man fronts. We're either going to be running a 3-4 or a 3-3-5. Most of the time, I assume in Conference USA with a lot of passing, you're going to see more of a 3-3-5. And then I think you're going to see, you know, bear packages on short yardage, pretty typical, maybe a five-man front at times. You know, I don't think that there's going to be any crazy defense going on, but a three-man front is definitely what we're going to be getting used to.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, they got 2 months to sort it out, 2.5 months to sort it out before it kicks up again. So we're going to have, for those of you listening on the iTunes feed, there won't be a break. For those of you listening live on Mixler, give us about 30 seconds to bring Brett on.
I'm going to go get you.
All right, joining us on the phone is the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Brett, so spring game, obviously, that was the big topic the last 2 weeks. Give us your overall feel. I mean, this is a new coaching staff, a kind of a new coaching philosophy, a new play philosophy. What did you come away with?
Oh, I don't know. I thought there were some good things and some things they needed to work on. It's kind of what you'd expect. You know, I think they need some work offensively. You know, it's hard to really tell a lot about what's going to be happening with the running game and then with the spring game format because it really wasn't much of a game. So I think there were some positive signs. I thought Alec Moore showed some good signs, especially considering he hadn't been in town that long and with the program for that long. And there were some other guys that played well. And there were some other things that were kind of, I think, were a little bit danger signs. Offensive line struggled a little bit through the spring and, you know, moving Sam Rice to center, I think that was a bit of a red flag considering, you know, that leaves you with only, well, you really don't have anybody back in the same place they were last year now with Rice moving over.
Brett, who are some players, you know, you went to a lot of the practices and like we were talking earlier that, you know, the scrimmage, the spring scrimmage was one. If you look over the whole breadth of work, what are some names you think kind of emerged out of this spring?
Some of the wide receivers, just with the move to the new offense, I thought stood out a little bit. I thought Connor Davis had a really good spring, considering what he had, he'd hardly even played. He was somebody that you really hadn't thought a lot about. And there were some other guys that played well on defense. I really thought the transfer defensive end, Joshua Wheeler, had a really good spring. I thought Joseph Ozuagu, I'm going to butcher his name. I just have to spell it, not pronounce it in this business.
We did the same thing.
Yeah, I thought he did some good things. There were some guys that looked pretty decent on defense. I thought the cornerbacks had a pretty good spring. I thought Nate Brooks looked really good at times. So there were some guys that really played well on both sides of the ball.
So, Brett, one of the discussions we had earlier was the quarterback situation. With this new, it seems to be, pass-heavy philosophy, are we putting all the eggs in the basket of hopefully, the whoever we can get before the season starts can fill the 1-2 position? Or what are your feelings about that?
Just as far as the way I think things are going to go? I really think that on the basis of what happened throughout the entire spring, I thought Alec Morris came out of there pretty definitively as the guy. Now, that's just my opinion, but I stood there and watched a lot of practice, and I took a lot of heat for it, and that's cool. Some people really like Quinn Shambour, and he's got some talent. He can throw the ball a little bit, but I just thought what Morris did, the sum total of his resume at the end of the spring was pretty darn impressive. He came in, he had no rapport with his receivers, he's learning a brand new offense, he's been rotting on the pine at Alabama, and came out there, and pretty definitively, if you look at the depth chart when it was done, came out of the spring as North Texas's guy. And I think he's just got, more raw talent and more raw ability and more there to develop than anything North Texas has had in forever. You got to remember, this guy was a pretty highly regarded quarterback coming out of high school, and then he goes to Alabama, and it wasn't like he just rotted on the pine there. He was in contention for that starting job pretty regularly up until the later stages of his career, when he was surpassed by some other younger players. And I've heard the argument that, oh my God, he was surpassed by a freshman. Well, the freshman that surpassed him was Cooper Bateman, who was like the number two rated, number two or three rated quarterback is an entire class. Just a talent that would be dynamic of just about anywhere he landed. So I don't know. I just think that with him and what they've got, I think you just have to roll him out there and ride with them. I just think he's by far their best option. The question I ask is, what's the more likely scenario? That North Texas takes a guy that was so highly regarded and played for such a high-level team and was recruited and has that level of talent, and he puts it all together his senior year, or that you're going to find somebody that, was sitting on your bench that, wasn't playing a whole heck of a lot.
Well, hey, Brett, Shambour was a preferred walk-on at Oklahoma State, so I just want to add that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's the more likely scenario? You find a walk-on who was a walk-on at Oklahoma State and then a walk-on at North Texas who's got some talent, and then all of a sudden, he puts it together in one season, or that you take a guy with a high level of talent that is, been highly recruited and regarded all throughout his career, and he puts it together in one year. I think the more likely scenario is the Louisiana Tech scenario, where you have that highly regarded guy that puts it together in one season. That's just my, opinion, and we'll see if that's the way it plays out, but it sure seems like that. And the more likely direction they'll go.
The guys on the board just seem to love to have the underdog.
The backup
every single year.
Because we've never had a strong, front runner. We've never had the strong guy.
But if you just, Brett, maybe you can agree with me on this. you know, you kind of alluded to a little bit, but, you know, this is the only guy on the roster that the new staff picked, you know, in terms of quarterback. So,
I mean, that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, there's just – that's why I get that if he has a bad spring game and then people want to talk about, well, Shambor threw and had some nice plays, well, that's fine. I mean, he was playing against a lesser string. He wasn't playing against the ones or – you know, but and but whatever. And I said earlier, I don't know if you were listening, but I said that I think that Quinn Shambor being number two is more of an indictment on Connor Mean's failure to retain the number two spot than Quinn Shambor's rise to the top.
Well, and the thing I feel bad about is, you know, the thing is that Quinn Shambor is a terrific story for the fact that he's bounced around from place to place to place, and then all of a sudden in North Texas, he's in the conversation, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that has overcome a tremendous amount of just adversity of going from place to place and being in – it's harder at any position to make noise as an unrecruited walk-on, and especially I think with this new staff. I don't think the walk-on program is probably going to be as big an emphasis as it was before. But it's just a terrific story that this kid has made himself a factor – as a walk-on at the quarterback position, which is something you never hear of. You know, I was trying to think of, you know, walk-on quarterbacks that have made, you know, a splash. And the only one that was really a true walk-on, the guy at Texas Tech was a recruited guy, was somebody pointed out that the old Southern Miss quarterback who, you know, went on to play in the NFL was a walk-on. But that's about the only one I can find.
We've had a few. I mean, Nathan Toon, Jason Attaway. I mean, there have been some walk-ons.
But he's talking about going farther, I think. And I mean, the one thing I will say about Quinn is that he's a great kid. He's an extremely good student, from what I'm told. Super high GPA. And when I first started doing the show in 2013, I thought that Quinn at first was a GA because of how much, like, extra work he was doing. He was, like, doing a lot of studying, and he always had the books and stuff like that. And I thought that he was another like intern GA because I didn't know the team that well. I didn't know like the guys, the walk-ons that well. I knew like the basic roster. And then I saw that he was in the weight room more and he was in practice afterward and throwing the ball around. Like, he was always working longer. So, you know, to his credit, the kid has really worked. I think it's a good story. Yeah.
I mean, that's how Quinn Shambor gets to be the backup quarterback in North Texas. You know, potentially, if this all plays out the way we think it's going to, you know, he's a snap away.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think he'll end up. I think he'll end up as a number three, as something else will shake out, and that's just kind of my prediction. But he'll still travel, and he'll still be a guy. And he's a guy that just when you talk to him and see his knowledge of football, like he's the kind of guy that you could see as a coach. You know, he's like a McNulty kind of thing where there might be some limitations out there, but the brain is totally there. The football IQ, strong. He doesn't have Alec Morris's body, and he doesn't have Alec Morris's arm, and that's not his fault. You know, McNulty was a great kid who had a great, you know, head on his shoulders and was super smart, but he didn't have the arm and the legs. You know, sorry, Andrew.
That's the thing that kind of...
You know, this happens in college football, especially at the quarterback position. This is that's the thing you regret. We're sitting here, you know, debating. Oh, you know, we're talking about all the flaws of some kid that has done absolutely everything right and has gotten himself in a position that maybe his raw talent says he shouldn't be there, but he's there because he's worked so hard and he's done everything right. What we really should be talking about is what a great story it is about what a great job this kid has done and how he has done everything right. And instead you end up talking about, well, you know, he's too short. He was not recruited. You know, maybe he doesn't have the talent level of another kid. And I think that's the unfortunate part of it, because I think he's really done all the right things.
Well, we're trying to get a winning program here, Brett. So, you know, bear with us. It's been 11 seasons that we've gone through, and we're kind of a little tired of the come from behind Rudy type stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Brett,
is there any fan base that latches on to the random walk on or, you know, the unheralded recruit more than North Texas? I mean, we got into this debate a couple of years ago about, you know, North Texas is going to have a batch of running backs that's better than anything that it's ever had before, including Patrick Cobbs and Jamario Thomas and like a couple other guys that had 100-yard games in their careers. And I'm like, what? You know, and it's just really odd to me that the North Texas thing is just to latch on to the unrecruited guy, the underdog guy.
That's just because the lack of success. That's just because, you know, we discussed this last week. We've been doing these podcasts for 10 years. We've had one winning season.
Well, the thing that
thank you,
Brett. Yeah, and the main thing
exactly
that,
right.
That's
is
true.
Yeah, it is. We talked about this. Yes. But the main thing with Shambor and the Shambor type guys that go out there and they make a few plays at spring games. The one thing I always want to do, and this is what I've always tried to do on this podcast, especially, is like temper expectations. Like just because Alec Morris goes out there and doesn't play great, and Quinn Shambor plays a little bit better, we don't need to be thinking that he's the next. Like, we just jump to conclusions because we are kind of waiting for that next. We're so hungry for anything that we think that, oh, you know, we signed T. Goree from Carthage and we want him to, and he's going to play next year. Oh, wait, he's redshirting? You know, and it's like we latch on to these kind of scenarios and expectations. He who shall not be named on this podcast.
All over me that was saying that he was going to be better than Jarrell Jernigan and T.Y. Hilton, you know, that he was going to blow him away and that this kid was going to be, Tyler Stratford was going to be a first-team all-conference guy, was clearly better than, you know.
It's just how it goes when you're at a school
Jernigan
like this now.
And the guy from T.Y. Hilton. I mean, those guys went on and played in the NFL, and T.Y. Hilton's had a nice NFL career. You just can't read too much into practices and spring games and stuff like that.
Right, and we've still got 3 more months. A lot can happen in those 3 months. We could be looking at a total different quarterback situation. We just don't know. So, well, Brett, thanks for joining us. You can follow Brett at meangreenblog.dentonrc.com. And obviously it's going into the slow part of the year, but keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for the blog. If anything does happen, I'm sure it'll be on there. So, Brett, thanks for joining
us.
Thanks,
Brett.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
see
you later. All right. So thanks for Brett joining us. We appreciate his insight on all that. And we want to bring on one more caller here before we wrap up the podcast. So let's give it one brief of a second. All right. Joining us on the phone now is the GoMeanGreen.com recruiting guru, friend of the website, who will tell us and keep us up on the latest goings on with recruiting for North Texas. JD, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
So, JD, what's going on? I mean, it's, you know, we've been talking about the spring game tonight and spring training and those kind of things, but recruiting is a, you know, year long, you know, 7-day, 24 hours a day deal in college football. So, kind of give us the latest that you've been seeing out there for North Texas.
Yeah. UNT did land a JUCO recruit this last week from LA Valley, Anthony Weiss. He's a running back. He's a freshman, so he's got 4 years to play three. So, and he had a heck of a freshman year, and so pretty excited about him. I think they're going to bring him in, you know, in case.
Hey,
Ivory doesn't make it.
Is that 100% confirmed?
From what I hear, I mean, he's committed, and he's talked to Eckler. I mean, I guess the thing that I'm confused about is they still are offering to, you know, 2016 JUCO guys. They've got 2 offers out now to tackles, one from Cisco and one from New York, Chris Hawkins. And both of them are, you know, 3-for-2 guys. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's just in case Caden Kirby. I mean, I don't know, since he's left the team, I don't know if that's just –
Well, and we lost the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
You know, Sir Calvin's, you know, signed with another team, too. So that might explain those tackles.
And there's another guy from LA Valley, that Ravion Holston. He visited, actually, last weekend, visited UNT. And
he looks pretty good, by the way, JD.
Yeah. He's big, and he would fall right into that defensive end, you know, lineup with Andy Combs and, you know, Malik and Jerry. I mean, that.
Yeah, the only concern on him is I saw Memphis and a couple. I mean, I think when he had a great visit, but that's one of those things you wish they could have closed it before he got out the door.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, his teammate was the running back that committed, so hopefully, you know, maybe coming all the way from L.A. to Texas, maybe that will play in our favor, you know, having 2 guys from the same team, maybe some camaraderie, you know.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's always a plus, I mean, if you can get somebody like that. Yeah, I talked to Tommy Perry about that kid. the running back, and he, you know, he was pretty happy with the fact that that could be a possibility last time I talked to him, and that was a guy that the staff in general was kind of hyped about. So,
and wasn't the story
and Willie
on
Ivory has the great issue, so maybe he's going to be the bringing him in case, you know, he can't get his grades straightened out. You know, he can back up Jeffrey Wilson. Maybe that's their game plan behind that.
And wasn't the story on him that he was, like, really highly regarded coming out of high school, but he didn't – I mean, was it grades that why he went to the JUCO?
No, his grades. He was actually – I think I've seen where he was, like, a 3.8 GPA. Like,
yeah, he's a great student. It's something else. I can't remember what it was, though.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I can't remember either. But we did – they landed a new walk-on quarterback, the Mitch Kaysen from Flower Mound Marcus.
Oh.
I think he, you know, just another body at quarterbacks. I mean, watching his video, he kind of reminded me of Connor Means, and, you know, that arguably could be one of the best, you know, recruits, quarterbacks, high school recruits that McCartney had. So getting him as a walk-on, you know, can't hurt.
Well, you know, we were just discussing that, you know, our stable for quarterbacks, if something doesn't work out, is very, very thin. So that's good news to hear.
And I think that Graham and the staff thinks the exact same way we're talking about, that, you know, they need more bodies. There's actually been two guys that decided to be graduate transfers here lately, that Ryan Finley from Boise State, we kind of talked about him a little bit online, and he actually visited. And then there was another guy, Ben Kurt from East Carolina. He just committed to Virginia, but I know him and Graham are in contact, you know. So I know Graham's looking. I mean, he's looking for more bodies. Just
the Boise State.
Right now we've got two that's it. You know, I feel like you need more going into it.
The Boise State would be a nice – that would be the exact kind of competition that Finley would be the kind of competition that Morris needs to either get his butt in gear more, which, not saying it's not, but just give him some competition, or win the job. You know,
Finley's got more than 1 year. I think he's got a couple years.
He would have 2 years, I believe.
He's got three. He's got a medical red shirt, and he's got his other red shirt. So I think he's got 3 years left.
Wow.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, that's kind of floating out there right now, and I think that's – I know that the running back – what's his last name? Weiss?
Yeah, Weiss.
Weiss. Yeah, I know that that's – I didn't know that was 100% final, but that I thought the prospects were pretty good. That's a big one. And then, you know, if we can get somebody – or Finley or somebody like that, I think would be great. And, you know, we still have plenty of time to maybe lock something like that down.
Exactly.
All right, JD, anything else you want to cover while you're on? Any other players?
No, I mean, the only thing I was going to say was, you know, Seth Luttrell in his first opening press conference, he said that, you know, they were going to recruit, you know, relentless and aggressive. And just from what I've seen just so far, I mean, they've hit pretty much every DFW high school. I mean, you know, the schools will tweet up, you know, thanks for visiting. And UNT is up there with the best of them right now. I mean, they're hitting –
That is good to hear.
I was going to kind of bring this up at the end of your report. You know, I keep in pretty close contact, as everybody knows, with Tommy Perry, and he's obviously the last guy left from the staff that I would know well. And we talk a lot, and he said that one of the most impressive things when he came in was that the recruiting was immediately – he's like, these guys get it. You know, this is he's not crapping on the old staff by any means, but he said these guys really get it, you know, and guys like Eckler just – He sees a different kind of passion, and Maynard especially, who I believe is the recruiting coordinator now. I mean, I think that Perry talking about recruiting now, and the staff he's doing it with, he's just a little bit more. There's a little bit more emphasis on
it. And he has credibility to say that because, frankly, he was one of the stars of recruiting from the old staff.
Absolutely, yeah. He saw the value in it, and I think that these guys see the value. And young guys do, man. There's a different – they're out there working their tails off. These are still – that's the good thing about getting a young staff, like a Filani and something like that, that was – you know, and by the way, Filani GA'd at Boise State. So there's a connection there, just FYI.
Nice.
You know, I think the guys like that, that they're trying to make a name for themselves. They want to go out there. And it's like Mason Ubarbo and Brandon Bird. They're out there scouting all the time. You know, they're trying to become coaches someday. So we get a whole staff of hungry guys, not 60-year-olds. That's nice.
Wow. There's a hit at the old guys. Hey, JD, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the good update.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thank y'all. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Hey, buddy.
All right, so that was JD, and that was some good recruiting information. A couple of names we forgot to mention earlier.
The quarterback thing has definitely got my antenna going.
Yes,
and I didn't know if it was something that we could really start talking about. But if he knows, if he's heard a little bit about it, then it's definitely more out there.
It's out there.
He follows a lot of those Twitter feeds too, and a lot of the stuff that he's got his nose to it, and he's got it down.
And one of the things I wanted to add, and we were talking about Seth getting his staff ready for this season and everything. You know, something that I've always kind of heard about staffs that come in to young staffs or new staffs with. Into somewhat bad situations, and I think we could all say that he's not coming into the greatest of situations. They're not always coaching for year one. Year two is really, really important because year two, they're going to have everything in place. They're going to have 2 years of recruiting. They're really going to have their guys. And that's not saying they're going to go out there and not coach for year one. But everybody's talking about, well, you know, Evan, you made the point earlier about, well, we need a quarterback. You know, if Morris isn't the answer, who's going to be the number two? I mean, they just need guys to go out there and compete this year, figure out if their game plan is going to be successful. And I don't think the objective is to go out there and get to a bowl game right away. I mean, if it can happen, great. But I think
have you looked at the schedule?
I just think
that year two is what we all need to be thinking about.
We need to see some development, and I would like to see Latrell leaving in like 3-4 years.
Because he's a stud,
and somebody wants him.
Let's win three or four games.
It has never happened.
Let's win three or four games this year, and let's maybe beat a team that we.
I'd like to see a little more than three or four.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that's better than last year.
Yeah.
But let's beat a team that we weren't supposed to beat, maybe.
Yeah.
Like if we beat a La Tech or something like that, like let's upset somebody.
Florida.
It is what it is. You know,
let's
I mean,
let's be competitive in games.
Yeah.
Let's
beat the hell out of SMU.
I want to see progress. All right. So with that, we didn't get to talk about rubber gloves, so we'll move on. Rubber gloves shutting down. I know that was on the topic of the list, but we'll go ahead and pass on with that. So that's the 159th episode of the GoMeanGreen.Barbershop Podcast.
Sorry. See what happens when we don't talk about rubber gloves?
I know.
It's happened.
You know, it's probably going to be a little ways before we start coming back because we'll probably do the next podcast.
We might
have
some stuff to talk about sooner than that. You never know.
Yeah, if we do,
we'll throw one up here. If not, we will definitely be starting back up as we get closer to the season. So remember, be kind on the board and take a break. Everybody needs a break.
Think positively.
That's right. Think positive. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.